Take your Bible and turn to the book of Jude tonight. How many remembers last Wednesday night when I needed a little help remembering my outline? How many remembers that? Well, I just want to come to the defense of Miss Eve, earn a few brownie points while I can. The reason she didn't know that one spot that I was having trouble with is because she is homesick at night. Now that looks bad on the rest of you. Say amen. She had a good reason. Amen. And let's look at Jude tonight. I told you before, you know what chapter. Let's look at verse 24 tonight. Amen. The Bible said, "Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen." Let's pray a moment. Father, thank you tonight for the privilege to be here in the house of the Lord. Lord, tonight I've got so much, Lord, that you've put in my heart. Help me, Lord, tonight to be able to deliver our Father in the same spirit that you've dealt in my heart, the truths from the Word of God. Lord, we thank you tonight for each one that's come this way this evening. And Lord, we're reminded often that before the foundation of the world, you knew who would be here tonight. And you know what's needed. I pray, dear Father, that every need would be met, every heart would be blessed. I pray, dear God, for these families that Brother Jeff is asking God for. Lord, there's nothing too hard for thee. Lord, with men, many things are impossible, but with God, all things are possible. Lord, we ask you tonight to make it a great year for our church. But Lord, we ask you in addition to that now to make it a great year for the prison prevention team, the school children, our Lord, many who will never hear the gospel in their home, many who will never darken the door of a church, blessed Lord, to get saved by the grace of God. I pray, Lord, you just work in hearts and lives. God will give you glory in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. The message was birthed in our heart. Up here in the verses, it says in verse 22 and 23, "And if some have compassion, making a difference, others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh." We've been preaching now, this is the seventh in a series of messages entitled "The Fire, Pulling Them Out or Pushing Them In." Brother Jeff, the reason God put it in your heart to go into the schools is because there's going to be some that can be rescued, some that can be pulled out of the fire. And the outline goes like this, and tonight I'm not dependent on you. Praise God, I typed it out. It started like this, where when we're multiplying, we pull by multiplying. In the first couple of verses, it says, "Mercy unto you and peace and love be multiplied." We pull by multiplying, and we push by dividing. No wonder the devil wants to divide the churches. No wonder the devil wants to divide the ministries such as the Rock of Ages. No wonder the devil wants to divide our country, because if he can divide, he's just pushing more in to the flames. And then we said we pull by contending in verse number 3, but we push by compromising. When we earnestly contend for the faith, I want to say this. Brother Jeff didn't say it, and I'm not fussing at him for not saying it. But one of the reasons I'm glad when he held that book up, that he's taken that book, is because I know that's a King James Bible that he held up a while ago. There's a whole lot of garbage in the school and in a whole lot of churches. But the King James Bible, beloved, is that book that we earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered unto the saints. We pull by remembering. We talked about the judgment that goes on with the angels, the heir of Balaam, the gainsaying of Kor, and the way of Cain. We talked about all of that. When we remember that judgment's coming, we're pulling. But when we forget, we're pushing. We pull by building up in verse number 20.
building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. We said when we're building up, we're pulling them out of the fire. But when we're tearing down, we're pushing them in. And then in verse number 22, we pull by having compassion. The Bible said, and of some have compassion, making a difference. And we push by being complacent. There's no neutral place for the child of God. We're either gathering into the sheepfold or we're scattering abroad. That's what the Word of God teaches. And then we got down to verse 23 last Wednesday night. And others saved with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. We pull by loving the sinner, but we push when we don't hate sin. Beloved, the Bible, the Word of God, teaches us that to love God and to fear God is to hate sin. And I believe we ought to be about loving what God loves and hating what God hates. God loves the souls of men, but God hates sin in every person's life, including mine. He hates sin. Now tonight, I want to finish the series of messages, if God would help me, in these last couple of verses and say, we pull by standing and we push by falling. Beloved, when we stand for what's right, the Bible said, having done all to stand, when we stand, we can pull them out of the fire. But when we fall, I'll tell you tonight, beloved, ultimately, somebody will be pushed. Somebody's watching your life. Somebody's watching my life. I want to give you some things tonight. I believe the Lord has condensed it down to three major headings tonight. Number one, we need to heed the warning. If we're going to stand, we need to heed the warning. Let me give you what the Bible said. The Bible said, for a just man falleth seven times and riseth up again, but the wicked shall fall into mischief. Rejoice not when thine enemy falleth. I'm telling you, beloved, listen to me tonight. These are not reading glasses. I better put them back on. Anyway, I'm telling you tonight that there are Christian people that rejoice when another Christian falls. And that's wicked. Beloved, when a Christian falls, the cause of Christ is hurt, and somebody's watching and is going to be pushed right off into the flames of hell because somebody didn't stand. Because they fell. I believe tonight, when you look at these verses here, now unto him that's able to keep you from falling. We need to heed the warning. You say, preacher, what's the warning? Listen to 1 Corinthians 10, verse 12. Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall. Let me say something to you tonight. Here's the way we ought to say this. Not, bless God, I'm going to stand for Jesus till he comes. That might sound good. Let me tell you something, it sounds good in the eyes and the ears of God, looks good in the eyes of God, and sounds good in the ears of God. That's to see somebody humble enough that say, by the grace of God, I want to stand till Jesus comes. By the grace of God, it's grace that brought me safe this far, and grace will lead me home. We can't do it on our own, amen. We need to heed the warning. Listen to what the Bible said in Proverbs 16, 18. Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. But am I right tonight? We're just humans. We can talk like that to one another. Sometimes that old pride rears up in us. We don't think it's too bad. When actuality, or as Olivia would say, actually, yeah, she's 4 years old, she talks like that. I tell you who she didn't get it from, that's her papaw. When actually, when we're standing in our pride, we might be one step from falling. The Bible said we need to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God. I'll tell you this tonight. Yes, I believe God's going to give us a good year for His honor and for His glory. But I'll tell you something right now. If we begin to swell up, God will pull a rug out from under us. Amen. We better realize every good and every perfect gift comes down from above. from the Father of lights, with whom there's no variableness, neither shadow of turning. We need the heed, the warning, if we're going to stand and not fall. We need to heed the warning. Secondly, tonight, we need help with the warfare. If we're going to stand and not fall, we need help with the warfare. I tell you something tonight. There's a warfare going on in our country. There's a warfare going on in our churches. There's a warfare going on in our country for the very fabric of our nation. I don't know if you've noticed it or not, but they've backed off now today, and they're going to try to get it all worded just right. What they're doing is compromising. They won't say, beloved, that it's wrong for that thing with that wrapped around its head, say amen, to talk about the Jewish nation, amen, and run them in the ground. They're afraid to say that's wrong. That bunch, check the wind every time it blows. Amen. Let me see what I need to say. How's the wind blowing? How's the wind blowing? I'll tell you what we need to say. God said, I'll bless them and bless thee, and I'll curse them that curse thee, and leave it right there. There's warfare going on for the very fabric of our nation, for the very fabric of our churches, for the very fabric of our homes. There's a warfare going on. You say, preacher, I don't know how you come up with a warfare. Well, I'm talking about standing. The Bible said in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse number 10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. I'll say some things tonight. It involves a person. It said, be strong in the Lord. Well, over there in the book of Jude, it said, now unto Him that's able to keep you from falling. There's a person involved here. And I'm going to tell you something right now. What would make that person happy tonight, Brother David, is every one of us fall on our face and say, God, we can't do it without You. We need You. Lord, we want to see people saved. Lord, we want to see the baptistry full. Lord, we want to reach people. Lord, we want to grow our missions program. But God, we can't do it without You. God, we want to be a strong people for the glory of God, strong in the Lord and the power of Your might, but we need You. We need You. It involves a person. We cannot stand alone. Jesus said, without Me, you can do nothing. The Bible said, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. I'll give you several things right here that it involves with the welfare. We need help, the warfare, excuse me. We need help in order to stand. It involves a person, but it involves protection. The Bible talks about putting on the whole armor of God. Beloved, I'm going to tell you something. You can't handle the enemy, and I can't either. This enemy that I'm talking about tonight is not one that can be handled with a .357 Magnum or a .44 Magnum or a 12-gauge shotgun. It's not one you can't even see him. But I'll tell you this tonight, if you've got any spiritual antenna about you at all, you know he's working all around. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, the spiritual wickedness. It's all around us. We need protection. In verse number 16, the Bible said, above all, taking the shield of faith. We need protection tonight from the enemy in this warfare. You go down to verse number 14 tonight. It not only involves a person and it involves protection, this warfare that we need help with, but it involves a promise. The Bible said, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. Let me tell you the truth about something tonight. The enemy's wicked. The enemy's everywhere. But greater is he that's in us tonight than he that's in the world. I want you to know tonight, Michael the archangel durst not bring a railing accusation against him, but he said, the Lord rebuke thee. We cannot handle him tonight, but thank God there's one living in every born-again believer that can handle him tonight. Bless his name. The promise, not only a promise, but a preparation. The Bible said here, having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. I think this fits better right here. I was going to use this in another place in the message, but I believe it fits right here, talking about this preparation. Recently, a National Geographic ran an article about the Alaskan bull moose. The males of the species battle for dominance during the fall breeding season. How many knows a little bit about that? Have you ever seen two rams? They'll back up and then bam, go together and fight one another. The white-tailed deer will do the same thing. The mule deer will do the same thing. The elk will do the same thing. Here we're reading about a moose in Alaska. The male of the species battles for dominance during the fall breeding season. I'm going somewhere. Literally going head to head with antlers crunching and crashing together as they collide. Often the antlers, their only weapon, are broken. That ensures defeat. The heaviest moose with the largest and strongest antler triumphs. Therefore the battle fought in the fall is really won during the summer. Beloved, listen. When the battle is raging, that's not the time to be preparing for the battle. We better be preparing for the battle ahead of the battle. This is what the article in the National Geographic said. The one that consumes the best diet, growing antlers and gaining weight, will be the heavyweight in the fight. Those that eat inadequately sport weaker antlers and less bulk. There's a lesson here for us. Spiritual battles await. Satan will choose a season to attack. Will we be victorious or will we fall? Much depends on what we do now before the war begins. The bull moose principle. Enduring faith, strength, and wisdom for trials are best developed before they're needed. Think about that tonight. That's why, regardless of whether the storm is raging or not, we ought to have our nose in this book. That's why, whether the storm is raging or not, we ought to be in much in prayer. That's why, whether the storm is raging or not, the Bible's talking about here with the whole armor of God, having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. There needs to be a preparation. I wonder tonight, I'm going to ask this question. I didn't plan on it. But I wonder tonight, if you ran up on an intersection, there's a car wreck, bad car wreck. You get out of your car. You run over to somebody's window. Their feet are trapped up under the dashboard. Maybe just within 10, 15 seconds, the car's going to explode. And that person says to you, "What must I do to be saved?" Every child of God ought to be able to answer that question in 15 seconds. Say amen. Paul said it like this when the jailer said, "What must I do to be saved?" He said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Thou shalt be saved and thy house." I do believe that if there's time, we can take time and explain sin and the penalty of sin. And explained the cross and how the penalty was paid. The salvation's of the Lord. When that thief looked over, he didn't have a Roman's road. He said, "Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom." Beloved, we need help with the warfare. We need to heed the warning. It involves a promise and preparation and peace, but it involves prayer. Listen to this tonight. This will go along with something I said a while ago. The Bible said in verse number 18, "Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints." See, Paul said, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. And then he follows that up telling us how to do it. Put on the whole armor of God. I remember one time years ago, a man was preaching on the armor of God, and he had seven things in his sermon. And I went down through there, and I couldn't find the seventh thing to save my life. So what'd you do, preacher? I picked up a telephone, and I called him. I said, "Brother, I've been looking down through here, and I see six out of the seven." He said, I see the loins girt about with truth, and I see the feet, the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and the shield of faith, and the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit. But for the life of me, I can't find the seventh one." He said, "Praying always." I'm going to tell you something right now. The preacher could know this Bible forwards and backwards, but without prayer, it's not going to carry any power. What we need in the warfare, beloved, is power. We need the power of God. This is a true story that I'm going to share with you tonight. A Christian leader, you'll like this. I'm reading the illustration just like I printed it off. We'll call him Steve. You're going to like this, Brother Steve, because he's on a plane. It fits perfect. A Christian leader, we'll call him Steve, was traveling recently by plane. He noticed that a man sitting two seats over was thumbing through some little cards and moving his lips. The man looked professional with his goatee and gray and brown hair. Steve placed him at 50-something. Guessing the man was a fellow believer, Steve leaned over to engage him in conversation. He said, "Looks to me like you're memorizing something." He said, "No, actually I was praying." Steve introduced himself. He said, "I believe in prayer too." "Well," he said, "I have a specific assignment." That's what the man said there with the goatee. Steve said, "What's that?" He said, "I'm praying for the downfall of Christian pastors." Let me ask you something, Brother Steve. You reckon there's ever been anybody on them planes praying for the downfall of Christianity and Christian pastors? You better believe there is. I was in a hospital not too long ago. I'm trying to remember where. I'm in so many different ones. I'm trying to remember where, and I cannot for the life of me remember where. But I felt impressed of the Lord. I believe it may have been. No, I'm not sure. I'm not sure. But I was in a hospital, and I felt impressed of the Lord to go down to the chapel. Get away, read a little bit, pray a little bit, just get away. I can't even remember the family I was with or the situation that I was in. But what I remembered was this. While I was in there, three different Muslims visited the chapel at three different times. They all faced the same wall. They all went through the same routine. I was sitting there with my legs crossed in a King James Bible. Listen, that big family Bible that was in the chapel. That last one that come in, the first two didn't ask. That last one come in and said, "Would I be disturbing you?" I said, "Sir, not at all." I said, "I'm just reading here about Jesus." You say, "Preacher, you really think we're in a warfare? You better get your head out of the sand if you don't know that we're in a warfare." We're in a warfare for the very fabric of our nation. And I'm going to tell you something tonight. Don't you take this the wrong way. But I believe there's a whole lot of more Muslim people faithful to prayer than there are Christian people faithful to prayer. We need to pray. We need to seek God's face. He said, "Preacher, why?" So we can stand. Because without His help and without His power, the Bible said, having done all, to stand. Amen. My dad left this world, brother. But he left standing for what was right. God saved my daddy. He became a friend of the pastor and a friend of the church and a laborer in the church. Daddy's taught a few Sunday school lessons along the way, but I'll be honest with you. Daddy would tell you that was not his gift. But if it had to be done, there wasn't nobody else to do it. He'd try. Amen. But he left this world standing. He said, I'm praying for the downfall of Christian pastors. Steve looked at him and said, I certainly would fit into that category. Is my name on the list? The fellow looked at him and said, not on my list. I want you to know tonight, we have an enemy. And I'll guarantee you, if you know Jesus tonight, your name's on his list. Our family, Brother Steve's on his list. Nehemiah, turn to Nehemiah chapter 6. I didn't plan on this, so let me just show you something tonight. What a precious book we have in front of us. Amen. Nehemiah chapter number 6. You know what Nehemiah realized in the book of Nehemiah? He realized in chapter number 1 when God broke his heart and he wept over the job that needed to be done, the city that was lying in waste. He realized he couldn't do it, but he knew the one that could. And Nehemiah, throughout these early chapters in the book of Nehemiah, realizes wholeheartedly that he has an enemy. Watch with me tonight what the Word of God says. It came to pass in verse number 1 when Sanballat and Tobiah and Geshem the Arabian and the rest of our enemies heard that I had builded the wall, that there was no breach left therein, though at that time I had not set up the doors upon the gates. But Sanballat and Geshem said unto me, saying, come, let us meet together in some one of the villages in the plain of Ono. But they thought to do me mischief. I'm going to tell you something tonight. I don't know if anybody in this country was even praying when our president was talking to that crazy man from North Korea. Say amen. I'm going to tell you something right now. I believe the president did the right thing, and I hope the day may come, but you always got to be careful when you're dealing with the devil. When someone that is a known trickster, that don't keep their word, you got to be careful. And here, Sanballat and Tobiah, they said, come on down here and let's talk about this in the plain of Ono. And I sent messengers unto them saying, I'm doing a great work so that I cannot come down. I would to God that every teenager would learn this verse that knows Jesus. And when the enemy tries to get them to come down, come on down here and let's talk a little while. It's not as bad down here as you think it is. I would to God that every teenager, every mother, every father would say, ha! I'm doing a great work. I ain't got time to fool with you. Because when you get to talking with the devil, making deals with the devil, you're not standing where you ought to be standing. Nehemiah said in so many words, oh no, I'm not coming down. He said, why should the work cease while I leave it and come down to you? Yet they said unto me four times after this sort, and I answered them after the same manner. Then sent Sanballat, his servant, unto me in like manner the fifth time with an open letter in his hand, wherein was written, it was reported among the heathen at Agashmu, saith it, that thou and the Jews think to rebel, for which cause thou buildest the wall, that thou mayest be their king according to these words. Thou hast also appointed prophets to preach to thee at Jerusalem. There's a king in Judah, saying, there's a king in Judah. And now shall it be reported to the king according to these words. Come now therefore, and let us take counsel together. Then I sent unto him, saying, there are no such things done as thou sayest, but thou feignest them out of thine own heart. For they all made us afraid, saying, their hands shall be weakened from the work, that it be not done. Here's what Nehemiah said. Now therefore, O God, strengthen my hands. Help me finish, God. Oh boy, wouldn't you like to finish the work that God's given you to do in this walk of life? Can I tell you, there's going to come a time when you ain't going to feel like you can put one foot in front of another. And in our weakness, His strength can mightily become strong in a moment if we disremember and beg God, strengthen our hands. Help us to stand strong. Help us not to fall. I'll be honest with you tonight. It scares me to death to think about falling in front of the precious families, in front of our precious teenagers, in front of my precious grandchildren. Amen, Brother Dave. Think about falling. Because it's very possible, Brother Jeff, if preacher falls. Oh, you say, preacher, the Bible said a just man falleth and riseth up seven times, falls seven times, and riseth up again. I say, amen. But you never know who's being pushed into the fire. I do believe if you're a Christian, you're not going to stay down in the vomit and in the mire. Amen. I will say this, we ought to guard against falling. Now unto Him that's able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty. If I can make it to that box that's about 6 or 6.5 or 7 foot long, if I can make it to that box without falling, oh, maybe my last words could be, now unto Him that kept me from falling. Because I guarantee you this, Miss Eve loves me, but she can't keep me from falling. My children love me, but they can't keep me from falling. Brother Jeff, I have many friends in the ministry that love me, but they cannot keep me from falling. The only one that can do that is my Savior. He wants to do that. Underline those words. Let's make them a part of our prayer life this year. Now, therefore, oh God, strengthen our hands. Let's make them a part of our prayer life this year. Millions, millions, listen to me, millions are coming across the southern border, but there's no crisis, you understand? I mean, we can just keep right on and on and on and on. I'm going to say something to you tonight. We need to pray that God will strengthen our president's hand. I would say that regardless of who the president is, if the president was standing for legal immigration and against illegal immigration. It's not fair, folks. It's just not fair. It's not right. And I believe with all of my heart, we need help with our warfare. We need to heed the warning. I'll give you this tonight and I'm done. We need a heart for wisdom. The Bible said in chapter number 20, or chapter only chapter in Jude in verse 25, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen. He said, preacher, how could we keep from falling? Well, we need to heed the warning. We need help with our warfare, but we need a heart for wisdom. The Bible said here that He's the only wise God. The book of James says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. I believe the only hope I've got of being the dad I ought to be is to ask God to give me wisdom and teach me how to be a dad. The only hope that I've got of being the papaw that I ought to be is asking God to give me wisdom and help me to be the papaw that I ought to be. I believe the only hope of being the husband that I ought to be, standing where I ought to stand as a husband, is to ask God to give me wisdom that I might be the husband that I ought to be. I believe the only hope of being the pastor that I ought to be is to ask God to give me wisdom. That'd be something good to incorporate into your prayer life. God, help our pastor. Give him wisdom. God, he can't do it. He don't know how to do it. You say, preacher, I wouldn't pray for you like that. Let me give you something. When you look up the word lack right here, it comes from a Greek word, lipo, and it means to fail or to be absent. It's not talking about you've almost got enough wisdom. Are you listening to me? Oh, I've got 75% of the wisdom that I need. That's not what it's talking about. It's talking about humbling ourselves to the place where we can say, God, we can't do it without you. We don't have the wisdom. But you have the wisdom and we need it. Colton, I believe God can make better soul winners out of us if we just ask God to give us wisdom. Heart for wisdom. The Bible said, let him ask in faith. Solomon could have asked for a lot of things, couldn't he? But Solomon, honestly, I believe this is where it comes from. Solomon did not ask that day when he asked God for wisdom. He didn't ask with his eyes on Solomon. He asked with his eyes on others. I believe tonight that if all I can think about is myself, Brother Jeff, I'm probably going down. I'm going to fall. But if God can keep others in front of me, if I can ask God for wisdom that I might lead others in the right direction, if I can ask God for wisdom that I might stand. Not so that one day somebody said, praise God, he stood for Jesus. No, but that one day, my life would have been spent pulling them out. And not pushing them in. I can't do that without him. But with him, there's nothing I can't do. With God, all things are possible. Now the last thing tonight. I know, I said that other one was the last thing. That's not the first lie I've ever told. I didn't tell it on purpose, so I can say that. I thought it was done. I'd rather die than be involved in pushing somebody into that. You remember I come to the pulpit a while back to preach this in one message. Didn't work, did it? If God would take this little message in Jude and help us to say, oh God, this year, it ain't been on the mind every year, Lord, like it ought to be, but this year, oh God, help me, Lord, to get involved in pulling it out. I like what the lady said I talked to today. She said, Pastor, we'd like to get involved. I said, honey, we need you to get involved. The last thing tonight in standing, we need to heed the warning. We need help with our warfare. We need a heart for wisdom. But I believe this is a good a reason as any in the whole wide world to stand, not to fall, and that is to honor the one who is worthy. The Bible said unto him, see, I'll find it over here in the beginning, in the book of Jude. The Bible said, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. When you go to the book of Ephesians, it says, unto him be glory in the church. Brother Ralph, Unto him be glory in the church. Not unto the pastor. Not unto the deacons. Not unto the body of Christ. But unto him be glory in the church. By Christ Jesus, throughout all ages. What's that mean? Y'all say, preacher, we're living in the last days. Well, we're living in the last of the last days. But God said he wanted glory in the church throughout all the ages. I don't believe God desires something that we can't give him. I believe we can give him glory. One of the ways, Brother Rose, we can give him glory, just keep standing. Having done all, to stand. A fellow's trying to pick a fight one time, and he said, put him up. Come on, let's go. The other fellow said, man, I can't fight. He said, I said, come on, put him up. I've had enough. Let's go. He said, man, I can't fight. He said, why can't you fight? He said, I got back trouble. He said, what's wrong with your back? He said, there's a yellow streak in it about that white. I don't say this to be mean, but you know I'm telling the truth. There's a whole lot of men ain't going to preach that Bible because there's a yellow streak in them about that white. They're afraid. They're afraid of what man will say, what man will do. Afraid some man will sit on his $100 bill. Oh, thank God for the church of God that wants to hear truth, that understands and knows it don't matter how far down the road we are, we can still stumble and we can still fall. But unto him, it's able to keep us from stumbling, keep us from falling. And the Bible said to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. I'll tell this and I'm done. Brother Jeff, I was with the Rock of Ages when the Lord spoke to my heart. Did your mom ever do any canning? Did she? Yeah, in the garden, green beans and maters. And you can't say maters in Pennsylvania. They don't know what you're talking about. Amen. My mama would can. Miss Eve would can. We first got married. Good night. We had a combination garden, my dad and I. My dad and his family, my family, we shared a big old garden where we lived. You didn't know Miss Eve was kin to Granny Clampett, did you, Houston? We had a groundhog that would stand up and eat her maters in the middle of the day because he knew I was at work. She could go out there and hang clothes on the line. It didn't matter. He'd just stand there and eat them maters. It didn't matter to him. I taught her how to shoot my 12-gauge shotgun. She killed three in one summer. I could just see her. It was a 30-inch full choke barrel. I can just see her going around that porch, that 12-gauge shotgun. Amen. She set three groundhogs out into eternity in one summer. Mom would can, Brother David. Mom'd be off in another room folding clothes or washing dishes or something, and she'd listen for those cans to seal. They'd make a popping noise, a ping, ping. And Mom would count them. One. Was it seven, Miss Eve, that went in the canner? And if she got to six and didn't get to seven, she'd go back and look, and one of them didn't seal, she'd take the top off of it and put it back through the canner again, because if it don't seal, it's not going to keep. And I've often wondered, Brother Jeff, how in the world, when I look in the mirror, I don't see nothing but spots and blemishes. How's he going to present me faultless before the presence of his glory? How many of y'all are saved tonight? How many can go back to that moment? Brother Steve, I've been listening to the CD. I'm almost to the end of it. I didn't realize I had a CD player in my car. I knew I had one in my truck, but I've been enjoying it, brother, on conviction. Here's how I believe the Lord is going to present us faultless. You see, at Calvary, all my sin was dealt with. Now I'm going to give an account for the service. Listen to me. At the judgment seat of Christ. If I had to give an account of one sin, I couldn't go to heaven. Remember, Abraham believed God. It was imputed unto him for righteousness. By the way, that's perfect righteousness. That's the righteousness of Christ. Now watch this. The Bible said, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Mom would go back sometimes a year, sometimes 2 years later, and when she'd break that seal, you know what she got? She got green beans, just like the day she put them in there. Jesus is going to come, and I'm going in his presence. I won't have to be sealed then, because that's the day of redemption. I'll have a new body. But you know what he's going to get? He's going to get me just like he did that night. He sealed me. I've never been so clean in all my life. I went down filthy. And he washed me thoroughly. It was 2 weeks before I realized my feet were on the ground. I mean, I was high-stepping. But then that first trial came. Let me know I'm not home yet. But boy, it was good. You know what he's going to do? He's going to present me faultless. Without spot, Brother David, without blemish. Because when he sees me, he sees the blood of the Lamb. He sees me as worthy and not as I am. Some people think, well, if you believe that, just go live any way you want to live. I believe if you believe that, you don't want to fall. You want to just live unto him that's able to keep you from falling, to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. I'm just glad you come tonight.